The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Today, the final constituency Man in Line. We've been around all the constituencies, and today it's Glenfavor and Peel with MHK's Kate Lowe Brennan and Tim Crookall. So if you live in the constituency and there's something you'd like to know about, or maybe a question you'd like to pose about the constituency, then by all means get in touch. Obviously, Kate and Tim are ministers in the government, but we're doing the constituents of Peel and Glenfavor with the respect of talking about Peel and Glenfavor today. So, lots to talk about. And Faster Mike, good afternoon. Kate Lowe Brennan, Tim Crookall, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Okay, let's get straight to it, Kate Lowe Brennan. In your, got a note in from Michael who just said in your manifesto, you were talking about care for the elderly in Peel. One of your manifesto pledges was investment for older people in Peel. At the time of the last election, the Corran Home was dominating the headlines. Where are we now with the Corran Home?
Okay, so the Corran Home, I think the key point for government and Timwald at that time, the main interest then was when there was actually people in the home and that the home didn't close. Obviously, that did happen, even though there was, you know, government help and Timwald support. It became really clear that there wasn't the will to continue running the home from the management side of things, and there were other financial things in the background. So in terms of where residential care in the future for Peel might be, I think there's other opportunities for that, and I am exploring those. But obviously, people are really concerned about what the future of the Corran Home site is. Just to make it absolutely clear, the site and the charity is not under the sort of the control or influence of government or indeed MHKs. Now, I have asked the directors that are responsible for that charity and, you know, look after that property and land, make decisions as to what their plans and intentions are for that land and site, and indeed any funding should that arise from a sale. Now, I haven't had any response, and I have asked this in various ways.
So they still own the site?
They do still own the site. Definitely, you know, people in Peel want something to be done with it. I know of other people who have contacted and said, actually, it would be brilliant to, and contacted the trustees, the directors, if you like, the Corran Home directly, to say it'd be brilliant to have even a community centre, something like that. They got no response. So my message to constituents is, I'm also interested and concerned. I'll be watching what happens next. I've made contact on multiple times. I think it's completely appropriate if other people who have that concern and also make contact with the Corran Home to ask them to
this
let
is,
them know
this
their
is
concern.
Years though, isn't it now?
Yes, it is. So
are you frustrated about this?
I am frustrated. I think it, you know, it's sat there, it's not doing anything, and people rightfully remind me and ask me, but the questions probably need to be directed elsewhere, is that the historic charities of the Corran family on, you know, that were behind all of that, it's really set up really for the in the interest and benefit for the people of Peel. But to put it mildly, I've really not had a positive response. I want to see something done with that site.
Okay, Tim Crookall?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the trustees are responsible for it, and we've had conversations, and I've had conversations, you know, with them as well, and with Health, DHSC here over, because DHSC obviously had an interest in it, and, you know, at the end of the day, the trustees are going to try and get as much as possible for their land in their building if they're going to sell it or do something else with it. So those conversations being on, I did actually speak to one of the trustees a couple of weeks ago, and he said they were still having ongoing discussions with people who were interested in it. So, but at the end of the day, Andy, you know, if it was your house and you're trying to sell it, it's your business, it's their business, and they will do with it as it is. But it is very, as Kate has just said, it's very, very frustrating that it's sat there now for some 3 years plus with nothing being done to it. And, you know, it's just such a shame because, you know, it's prime lands right in the middle of Peel, and we could absolutely make something really good of it.
Any plans for anything at any other care homes in Peel?
No, we've got Castle View, up the far end of town. You know, a fairly new one still, sort of probably 12 years old now, something like that. But, you know, we know that there's some new homes needed around the island, and it would be great. I mean, the building is beyond, you know, use these days, I
suppose. That was the point, wasn't it? Everybody loved it, but it just wasn't fit for purpose.
I mean, the trustees were doing bits and pieces of it up, wing by wing, if you like, three rooms into two and things like that, and making as good as possible. But it got to the stage where it wasn't working, and you know, they just didn't have the people coming in there. So you know, it wasn't viable for them. So something's got to be done. And it will probably have to be dropped, I would imagine. If it could be saved, fine, and then turned into something else. But I would imagine to make best use of the whole space between the wellbeing centre and the doctor's surgery, that it would have to be dropped and something made, you know, something made better of the whole site.
Okay. Andy, just to be clear, I am looking at other options for residential care in the West. There's definitely a demand, there's definitely a need, but that means there's an opportunity for, you know, developers and people who have sites where it could be developed into residential care, possibly additional private sheltered housing. So, you know, I have not stopped looking at that since I became an MHK, and I will continue.
Okay, there's another one in, and this is from Terry, who just said you wanted to see the expansion of an investment in Peel cloth workers as well. What's the situation with cloth workers?
Well, so this is kind of more on a, you know, something that government is looking at in terms of assessing the different needs for primary schools, in terms of, you know, what development they might need for the future. So a couple of interesting, you know, points on that. The Department for Education is looking at this, and I think it was identified some time ago that, as it stood, Peel cloth workers, you know, was quite high up in the list of primary schools needing attention given the school role. You know, in many ways, the use of the classrooms because of capacity has been an issue. The school role, though, is falling. So from a strategic point of view, you do need to make sure you've got the you know, land available should the school need to expand. And between sort of Treasury on a sort of strategic infrastructure needs, they're looking at that together with the Department for Education specifically to see what is needed for what schools, where and in what order.
Tim Crookall.
But if the school does need an extension at some stage, obviously they'll build out into the playground and the field, but there is some more land behind, which actually the local rugby club use at the moment. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday about the future of the rugby club. You know, should the school need that land in the future? But as Kate has just said, you know, if the role is falling, that won't be such an urgency about that, but they do have that land for extension and for the extra playing fields, if you like. And the same goes for the QE2. It's always said about the QE2, if they need to extend, they have land. There's the stem block is planned to go out to the side, if you like, back towards Peel. There's actually there's land out the back as well, which years ago was planned for a grass tennis court, which I don't think will ever happen, but yeah, there's land there for both schools to extend.
Okay, which leads me on to a question in from Nick. And Nick just says, could you ask Tim Crookall and Kate Lawbread, how big is Peel actually going to get? Is the development, residential development, ever going to stop?
At the moment, I would say we're just about, well, we are at the boundaries of Peel, right the way around. As everybody knows, there's just been planning for 92 houses on the outskirts, on the southern side of the town, if you like, towards Glenfaber. But there's a few pockets here and there. But at the end of the day, after the 130 acres was zoned in 1989, that's about it. And, you know, the Northwest plan is just coming up, just about to come up in the next month or so. And that will decide if there's anything further to happen.
Everybody knows when I say this, is Peel going to stay Peel if it keeps on getting bigger?
Yeah, I honestly believe it will do. Andy, 30 years ago, I was on the commissioners in 1991 when we started with Riotalen and Balaguer, building up at Balaguer there. And, you know, people said, oh, it won't, it's New Peel. And it did feel like New Peel to start with. But people said, oh, we'll just get people coming into the town. There won't be Peel people and all sorts. But over the last 30 years, you know, there's been a mixture of people coming into the town because people have needed to live somewhere. And Peel is one of the best places to live on the Isle of Man. But we've also had, you know, I've got a son that lives up on the new estate in Ballawattleworth. And Peel people have moved from the bottom of the town because of need. They've moved up to the top of the town, and it has worked, and we've had to have more space, otherwise they'd have all had to move to Douglas or other places. You know, as I say, the island is a great place to live no matter where you live, but if you want to stay in Peel, we've had to have more houses.
The 1989, you know, plan is the relevant point in this. So the planning application that's gone in for 92 additional homes, that's yet to be considered by the planning committee, but it's right, as Tim said, that area there is, you know, designated as, you know, potentially for residential under the 1989 plan. But obviously the caller there makes the point about, you know, how many people will there be and will this continue? But then now I've sort of looked into this point, particularly with that planning application, and I've sort of put in my views to the planning committee process on that particular application. And then when I did that, I pointed out that under the 1989 plan, if you look at Peel compared to other areas in the north and west, Peel has had more development than anywhere else in the north and west. So it's more than you sort of withstood, you know, what people might think is okay in rapid development. Now, there is something to be enjoyed through that, because you've got new Peel and you've got old Peel, and people love it, right? They love it from the different areas of the town, which has grown and merged together. But we do need to be a bit careful now. And just because something was in a 1989 plan doesn't mean that other things shouldn't be, you know, assessed at this stage, you know, for all the reasons that people would say, infrastructure, etc. Which is why, you know, I've taken the position that I have on this sort of thing.
Okay, so will there be any more development in Peel after the 90 plus houses?
Well, Tim is right. So first of all, there has not been planning approval for 92 additional houses on the outskirts of Peel. That planning application is in. It's yet to be considered. People can still make their representation. The next stage in development planning is about to go to a public inquiry, which is the Northwest Area Plan Public Inquiry. That will decide what happens next to do with zoning of land. Nothing is a foregone conclusion. It's chaired by an independent inspector, and then by law has to go through a whole range of processes to do with that. But part of that is exactly to consider whether there should, and if so, what constraints should be put on further development. Even then, Andy, a development plan or, you know, an area plan, things still have to come through with planning applications. So there's multiple stages to this, which is quite complex, but hopefully that gives clarity to the two points there.
Okay. Is the island's birth rate going up or down?
Well, I think the latest report showed an increase, I think off the top of my head, in births over the past couple of years compared to previous years. You know, there's obviously like efforts going on to try and make the island a better place for families. So you can see some of the announcements that have come out from government to support families in connection with that. But previously, for a long time, the birth rate has been dropping, hence the impact on the school roll that you see coming through with you know, new intakes, right. I guess, that will kind of continue for a few years at least.
Okay. There's just a note in from Richard who said, I'll just read it out and then your views. There are plans for a further 1,200 homes in Peel. What are the thoughts of both MHKs on the addition of these homes to the existing infrastructure? And are there any government incentives for businesses to locate or relocate to places like Peel? Or is it fine to continue to build homes and create increased congestion in and around Douglas and let the town centres around the Isle of Man gradually fade away?
It's a strange one, that, because actually we're at the edge of, as we just said, we're at the edge of Peel now. There is no more room in Peel, if you like. So if it's going to be continue to be called Peel, although it's on the outskirts, there'll either have to be a land grab, if you like, or we just, you know, call it Peel still, but it's actually in the neighbouring parishes. But, you know, it's, as Kate has just said, it'll be down to the Northwest Area Plan as to if and when any more houses happen there, and there are arguments for and against it by locals, by businesses. Businesses obviously want more people in the area to support those. But do you know what, Andy, in the last few months, we've had five or six new businesses coming into Peel, which is really good, which just shows that people do believe in Peel and think it's a great place to have businesses.
Okay. Pauline, you're talking now about a key issue in Peel is road safety. There have been calls for a pedestrian crossing between the Tommy Clucas and Milcrest Court, children and older children respectively, who very often struggle to cross the busy main road. Kate Lawbrennan.
I'm going to pass that to Tim because he's the infrastructure guy. Okay.
Yeah, happy to take that one. I'm involved with a football club, so obviously that's the same area, but there was a decision to be made as to whether the crossing was going to go between the football club and the QE2 or just a bit further down the road between the entrance to the Lynx estate and Milcrest Court, where the older residents live. And I think, having talked to the guys in the highways, it is actually going to go further down, so it'll be a bit further down in towards the town outside Milcrest Court.
Okay. There's another brief one that came in. Oh, well, Albany Road's got a crossing halfway along it. Most people cross at the corner where visibility is difficult, and people worry it's an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where that's come from, but I could have a good guess because I had a conversation with some residents there a couple of weeks ago, and we've checked the speed limits on that piece of road because they were done about probably 9 months ago, I think, or maybe a bit longer ago. The mean speed down there is about 22 miles an hour. Obviously, there are some a bit faster, some a bit slower, but I'm going to ask the guys to check it again because there was some construction work going on up at the road there, so that was slowing vehicles down, if you like, as they were coming past it, and the residents a bit further down are saying, you know, they are going quicker than that, so we will have a look at that again.
Okay, now, facilities for children, or for young people in Peel. A message in from Will, who just said, this is Tim Crookall's manifesto. Good quality recreational time and experience are an important part of quality of life. It's fundamental for government to support this ethos and encourage and support private investment. This is something that the people and younger people in Peel have been calling for. No skate park now, as just one example. What's happening for young people in Peel, Tim?
So some of it, I mean, there's a boundary here, and we just, you know, some of the stuff is down to the commissioners to do, and some of it, you know, is down to other groups and sports facilities, if you like. So, you know, the skateboard park and other bits and pieces and the swing parks are down to the local authority to provide. And yes, the skateboard park has gone, but the commissioners have worked on doing other bits and pieces. But just, I made a quick list last night. You know, we've got tremendous sports clubs and facilities around the town, and you mentioned the Tommy Clucas facility. That place is rammed nearly 24/7, if it could be. Yeah, we've got the swimming pool, we've got fishing lakes up there, we've got the dance studio, we've got the football club, athletics club, we've got the golf club. There is so much that goes on in the town, and I know not all children want to do that, but actually it's also a great place just to go roaming, which is we used to do, you know, either playing on the beach or up on the headlands or the hill as well. Yeah. There's so much to do, Andy.
Okay, is Sunset Lakes open as a restaurant, or is it?
I think it's closed at the moment. Right. I think the lakes are open for fishing, but I think the restaurant is closed at the moment.
Because that was a great place, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
It was a marvellous investment in the town.
It was, yeah. Yeah. It's just a shame if that. But okay, lots and lots of sports and what have you. But are there youth clubs? Are there facilities? What I'm talking about is, and you know, I'm talking about low-level bad behaviour and antisocial behaviour, particularly from young people around Peel.
Yeah, there certainly are youth clubs around, and you know, the team down there do a great job, and they're out and about with the youths that go in there. They take them out and about around, and they're playing either on the beach or the headlands and things, and doing in the youth club with them as well. There are all sorts of groups that go on around the town. So there is. I think there's plenty to do, and you've got the scouts and the brownies and things like that, groups as well, so there's plenty to do.
Okay, now the question of, and I knew this was going to come up, and this is from Peter, just talking about, if we can just reiterate this from new readers start here, Kate Law Brennan, the silt.
Mm-hmm.
What the situation now is, it's going to be carted away and left somewhere else for the moment, isn't it?
Do you want me to say that?
Yeah, because this is a...
Yeah, I know that was aimed at Kate, but I mean, that's more my department's bag. So it's the silt, I mean, obviously it's been sat there by Ellen Van Fuels now for 5 years. The department has been looking at various ways of getting rid of it, including shipping it off island to be dealt with, or leaving it here on island and using it somewhere. If it's going to be used here on island, it has to be treated to have some of the high levels of toxins taken out of it. We think that's the route we're going to go down now. We have got to the stage where it's been in its position for just over 5 years. We need to get planning permission again to keep on storing it until we decide what we're going to do, but we hope to have that as soon as possible. Yeah, it's an issue that we've got to sort, Andy, and the sooner we start doing it and stop it at source, up at the top of the mines and things, then the sooner this problem is going to go away, because at the moment it's just going to keep coming down the rivers into the harbour, and we're going to have to keep storing it and treating it until until it's cleaner coming down, in which case then we can go back to doing what we did before, which is putting out to sea.
And is it possible to stop it at source to clean it further up the river?
Yeah. Between ourselves and DEFA, we're working on some schemes at the top there by the cross vein mines and things, and obviously it comes down from there, down through Foxdale and Consloo and all sorts of things, and then ends up in Peel, and picking up stuff on the way as well. So hopefully, you know, it's going to take a few years to stop it at source, but as soon as we can do that, then we can stop, hopefully, taking the silt out and having to treat it rather than just take it out to sea and put it out there as clean silt.
Is there a budget for that?
Not yet.
Oh, I see. It's a plan at the moment.
For the first time, it's really being looked at overall, though, rather than as isolated things, because the issues that Peel suffers are often as a consequence of something that is happening, you know, literally further upstream. So, I was happy with, I saw a bit of a change in approach from DEFA, and also how this is working together with DOI to not just look at one isolated matter.
Things have moved on a bit, and we're actually looking at the schemes that were looked at first time around as well to make sure that, you know, if they can be done, which we think they probably can be done, yes, there's an expense to them, but actually not as much as sending it away to be, you know, for somebody else to treat, because then we're in the lap of the gods as to, you know, hold your finger up to the wind as to how much that would cost. So we're getting closer. The guys are working hard on trying to find a solution for it, and it needs sorting as soon as possible, because if we don't, it's just going to, you know, it'll end up going round and round and round and costing us a fortune.
Okay. There was a message in from Graham who just said, you talked about the commissioners. How do you get on with the commissioners, Kate Lord Brennan?
Well, on a one-to-one level, you know, I do speak quite frequently with the commissioners. I think that's important. I think it's also important that the public understand that there is, MHKs have a different role to the local authority and the commissioners. And local authorities, as Tim has mentioned, they've got specific functions, statutory, responsibilities really that they need to carry out.
Probably worth saying most people don't understand the difference.
I think so, and I think that maybe that becomes more of a curious concern if there is a difference of position. And quite clearly, recently I've been bringing to light and questioning a position that the commissioners had taken, which really the public wasn't aware of, in terms of their submission to the Northwest Area Plan, which has turned out to be pretty influential in terms of the draft. I'm happy to speak to the commissioners, although I think that it's fair to say, Tim, we've been waiting for the clerk of the commissioners to organise a meeting with us to go and meet with the commissioners since February last year. I think that the public do need to understand the different roles MHKs and the local authorities play. I'd like to see some initiatives come out from the commissioners that you could say, yeah, great, let's get involved in that from an MHK perspective, but you can't as an MHK control or have authority over what the local authority does.
Yeah, I get on really well with them. I mean, we've both got friends on the board. I spent 15 and a half years on the commissioners until I took up this job, and we understand what they do. I've had a couple of meetings through the department with the commissioners over road issues and parking and things like that, and I've held out the opportunity to go back and talk to them again fairly soon, just to see what they want for the town that involves my department that we can help and work together on. And hopefully, I was hoping to do that when Mrs. Hannan was chairman. We didn't get the opportunity because Comyn went on roaming around the town, roaming around the island when we had a date booked in. So we need to get that date back in the diary as soon as possible. But, as Kate says, there are things that we do as government and they do as local authorities, which are separate, but there are times when we should be seen to be working together.
And probably you both get blamed for something else that's somebody else's responsibility.
That's always happened, Andy. People will always point the finger at us or at local authorities and just say it's them, whatever. But we try and put them right. If it's down to them, we'll tell them. And if it's ours, down to us, I'm sure they'd point at us.
Okay. So. Could you ask Tim about the parking of large vans in residential areas in the areas of Northview and Westview, says a concerned resident?
Yes, again, I was speaking to somebody from Westview the other week, and it's on the list to talk to when we have our next highways meeting. It's not just a Peel problem, it's an island problem. Over TT, we've had been inundated with calls and messages from people, obviously from visitors, but we've got lots of vans, camper vans all around, and it's what used to be a van for work is people are using vans now just to take the family around. So we need to look at from a DOI point of view exactly the legislation. Big vans on roads is essential nowadays, unfortunately, for people's work and also for people's family vehicles. That's what some people use. So we need to have a good look at this, Andy. It's a really awkward one. Some of the roads are far too tight to have vehicles on both sides and get two set passing vehicles going down the middle. So we'll have to have a good look at the traffic system around the town, as I've said to other local authorities too, and we'll do it around their areas too.
Okay. A message in from Juan who just said, could you ask the MHKs to be more specific about when there may be a new care home in Peel? Kate Lord Brennan?
I am examining this and talking to people about it. I cannot give any other information at the moment.
2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
I can't give anything like that.
Any
now.
Ideas? Any?
No, no information at all. I'd say I had conversations with the HSC over the Corrin home, and besides that, it's there's been nothing, Andy.
Okay, we're live with Kate Law-Brennan and Tim Crookall today on Man and Land. Of course, they were both elected and both skittled out two sitting ministers last time as well. Of course, Minister went in Aaron Michael and Mr. Baker as well. Do you get any flack on a constituency level from a ministerial position, Kate Law-Brennan?
No, I think that... I think people understand that actually you go into a role as an MHK, and part of that, you know, means you are contributing at a public service level to government. So I've not had any issue that I think, you know, the feedback that I would get is that, you know, you're obviously working hard, you're doing a good job, keep going. I mean, people don't realise the amount of things that get attended to, or the conversations you have with constituents on a regular basis, or issues you help with all the time. And so that's the feedback I get. I've not had any issue with carrying out both of those roles at all.
Do you get any flack on social media? What's your social media feed like?
Well, I think that, you know, any politician will do. You've just got to decide actually kind of how you focus what you do, and just try and keep doing the next right thing as you see it in your job. So that's how I operate.
Okay, Anne's with us now. Anne, you're live with Tim Crookall and Kate Law-Brennan.
Thanks, Andy. Yes, has there ever been a time and motion study done on all the departments in the government and local government?
Okay.
Certainly, the time and motion study, as far as local government is concerned, I'm not sure. By local government, do you mean the local authorities?
Yes, commissioners, etc.
I would doubt that, but I mean, I certainly wouldn't know, but I would doubt that's ever been done. If it has been done in government, I would imagine it's years ago. I certainly can't remember it being done, but it's not things I've heard have been done for a long, long time. They seem to be out of fashion at the moment.
Kate Law-Brennan?
I'd need a little bit more information as to really what's being referred to. So I'm sorry, I can't
okay.
really help.
And what's
that.
Your question?
Working practices within government, are they optimum? You know, are they giving the constituents who pay everything the value for money?
Okay. Is this because as you're a minister, you're not really giving full whack to constituents? Tim Crookall?
I'm not sure if that's what she's asking, but...
Sorry.
I think I know what... I think. Do you want me to take it, Tim?
If you want, yeah. Just have a think about an answer, yeah.
It's obviously not a constituency matter exactly, but I'm interested and concerned about it as an MHK and obviously as a member of the public. In what I hope will give you some reassurance, obviously at government level, a new chief executive officer has been appointed. Something that was in my manifesto was about this accountability between the very top officers in government department and the most senior civil servant. That accountability gap has been closed, and through all of that there is now ongoing kind of performance reviews put in place and put in a routine way throughout the public service. So the things that you're talking about government efficiencies, massively important. Obviously all of this stuff can only come from public and taxpayer funds, and I can assure you it remains part of my focus and of the focus of the officials that we now have in government. So totally get you, and I will keep looking at it.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Anne. Good to hear from you. I want to go to Mike, who's got a question for Tim Crookall. Mike?
Hello there. Hello, Tim. It's Mike from West Marine House.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Not seen you for a while.
No.
About the silt.
Yes.
Like I say, it's been there 5 years. The planning permission was for 3. As you know, I've got that drain pipe that runs across the front of the access to the site here.
Yes.
And that ramp. Now, we've had discussions of this before. It's come loose. It should never have been done in the first place. That pipe runs all the way, as you know, all the way up the river, past Stuart Blackley's yard, and then back. There's no water in it when it has broken. The only time there was ever any water in that pipe was when they were using a petrol pump when the people were taking the silt out. It's an eyesore. It's that twin wall stuff is not good in, it's meant to be buried. So the UV is damaging it. You can see it's going light grey. So if they want to keep that there for another 5 years when it should have been gone in 3 years, how long have I got to put up with it?
The answer to that, Mike, is I don't know at the moment. If we end up taking that silt out and putting some new stuff in next year when we do another dredge, I think it's next year or 26 that it's due to be dredged again, I would be looking for them to find another way to do it. Yes, it's an eyesore. Yes, it's not broken, but it does move at the end of your drive. And I think it's been fixed again, but it's likely to come loose again, as you say, by driving over it backwards and forwards. But it's an issue that needs sorting out, as I said, permanently rather than. But there are other ways. In fact, I was looking at it not last week, the weekend before. It's just the state of the pipe and the state of the stone pillars that hold it in place, and that it's not good. It is checked regularly. They do have tractors that do check it regularly. If you've got any leaks, or if you see any leaks or damage to it, please let me know and I'll get on to them. But it's not ideal, but we're in the hands of, you know, I suppose ourselves trying to sort out where to put the silt first, and so we can. But it could, you know, it's going to be another couple of years, Mike, probably.
So if you're looking at other options, when we've discussed this before, when we were just generally talking, would the other option be to put a short pipe from that ground, as I've talked to you before, straight into the old cooling ponds behind the back of PLA, which then naturally feed into the river just up from where I am? Because I can't, this is tidal here. Every day I see the tide come past. So I don't understand why the scientists insisted that the overflow of that little bit of water had to go into the harbour.
Yeah, I mean, obviously over the years, the water's got less and less. When we have heavy deluges, I think there is some water that comes off it, but obviously not an awful lot. I don't know how much water goes down it now. It's mainly rainwater now. But they certainly didn't want to put it into the cooling chambers behind the old power station there, and they have it coming under the road. But it's, again, as I said, it's something that needs looking at. It can be done. And I know they didn't want it going straight into the river, even though it's tidal and it goes into the harbour 100 yards further down. And then when the tide's coming in, it's coming back up to your neck of the woods anyway. So it seems ridiculous. So, but we will be looking at it to make sure that we can tidy that whole area up, because it just ruins that whole walk up the river with those stone pillars and the pipe there. It just ruins it.
OK, a final word, Mike?
Yeah, final word is... the other MHK is regularly advertised surgeries on the radio. I've tried to look online. When do you and Kate have a surgery? So I've got lots of things I'd like to talk to you about.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
Tomorrow morning. We've got one at Greens in St John's at 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock tomorrow. We do have them fairly regularly. We had one in Peel at the top of Michael Street in Corlett and Bolton. We thank them for the use of their property and others places we use as well. But we're in Greens tomorrow morning between 10 and 12.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike. Good to hear you. That's tomorrow, Greens. When are 10 and 12, you said?
Yes.
Tomorrow. Lots more coming. Crikey, everybody's getting very, very excited about the leachate from the ragget and what have you. If you're not familiar with this, the reason for the silt is because of the mines around Foxdale and the heavy metals because of the mining in Foxdale over 100 years ago. See, what happens 100 years ago and more affects Peel on a day-to-day basis. And we're live with Tim Crookall and Kate Law Brennan till one.
Hi everybody, it's Dan Snow here, big fan of Manx Radio. Congratulations on your 60th birthday. I'll be listening.
I find it hard to get a doctor's blood test appointment to fit around work.
With my mobility issues, it's difficult to get to a hospital for a blood test.
If you find it inconvenient to go for a blood test, or you need one fast, then contact Top Care Nursing, where a nurse will do your blood test at home or in your workplace. Proud to be an Isle of Man Award for Excellence winner. Just call 628 919 for a free consultation or book online at topcarenursing.im.
Hello, I'd like to rent a car for 3 days. Just something reasonable.
No problem at all. We've just a few rules. You can't go off island, you can't smile in the car, you can't take any friends. Oh, and it's £10,000 a day.
Renting a car doesn't need to be difficult or expensive. With prices from just £50 per day and now collection and drop-off at the airport and Douglas, speak to Rex Rental Company or book online at rexrental.im.
Rex Rentals. I'm so glad to hear that.
It's time to start enjoying the garden. And from barbecues to garden furniture and machinery, tools and plants, Riley's Garden Centre has everything you need. Call Road Braddon and rileys.co.im or follow them on Facebook or Instagram.
Chain, there's no chain. The chain's jumped off the sprocket.
Motorcycle racing is back this Sunday on the Derby Airfield for the Andreas Racing Association's meeting. Under-16s get in free. Adults are £6. There's full facilities. Come and see us trackside.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
Make the most of those long, light evenings with the Manx Radio Chill Out Show, Sunday nights from 7. Whether you're relaxing at home, out and about, or rounding off your work end, you'll be more than welcome. Check out the tunes and email chill@manxradio.com.
The Sunday Chill Out. Chris Pearson, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
With Peel and Glenn Faber and Peel MHKs, we mentioned that there's a constituency surgery tomorrow at Green's Cafe, Main Road in St John's from 10 till midday. But also, in a spirit of solidarity, I'll tell you tomorrow also there's a political surgery for Arbury Castle Town and Maloo with Jason Morehouse and Tim Glover at Abbey Church Hall in Ballasalla from 10 to 11.30. Onken has got Rob Callister at Onken Community Centre at School Road. He's there from 10 to 11.30. And also in Douglas North at the Main Assembly Hall at Williston School, David Ashford and John Wannenberg will be in political surgery. So Saturday the 15th, they're like London buses. They've all come at once. I just want to go back to this silt, Tim Crookall. And this is a message in from 980, who just said, you need to stop pumping the leachate from the ragget into the sewer on Mill Road every weekend that goes to the outfall at the end of the breakwater. There'll be more harmful chemicals there than Glen Russian mines. Is that so?
Yeah, whoever it is right. What happens to it at the moment? It's been happening again. I remember David North, when he was the minister, coming to see us when we were on the commissioners, when they had the site set up down there, and he said you'll be treating or dealing with this leachate for at least 50 years, and he absolutely wasn't wrong. It will stop at some stage. We'll end up treating it differently in the fairly near future when we get the regional sewage treatment works, whether we can do it through that or through another way. But we do need to. It obviously goes out to sea because it's more diluted out there. It goes straight out into the seas rather than putting it into the river, and putting it into the river would have an effect on that small amount of volume of water, if you like, but it needs to be treated differently and in a different place.
Okay, and that brings me on to Gillian, who just said sewage and the next stage. Where are we at with the regional sewage works?
I have not stopped chasing the planning authority MUA. We both have been chasing up on this. So we have found out, though, that it looks like that the planning committee will be considering the planning application that has been put in by MUA. It was put in, I think it was the end of last year. It will either be considered, we're advised, on the 24th of June or if not the 8th of July. So that's the next stage. Clearly, MUA need to have the planning permission to progress with elements, key elements of getting that actually sorted, although they have said that they're trying to speed other things up along the way. So hopeful to get an outcome from that very soon.
Again, it's a huge issue. It's probably the biggest issue in the West, if you like, Andy. It's gone on for donkey's years. And again, I remember in 2009, myself and David Anderson at the time, going to a public meeting in the Corran Hall about this, and we're still trying to decide. And guess what? We're actually back in the same spot we were talking about then, exactly the same field. But hopefully, touch wood, this time we'll get it done. And that, as Kate has said, it's going to be dealt with on hopefully one of those two dates.
But a bit like the public don't understand the difference between local and national politicians and their responsibilities. All they know is that Peel's a great bucket and spade beach. It's a great bucket and spade beach. It's one of the jewels of the West.
And it should be even better. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's just such an asset to the island, and it needs to be served in a better way to do justice to how brilliant the town is.
Okay.
The sooner we can sort this, the better. I have to say, I was quite surprised when we were checking up on this in the last couple of days. Say the planning is in. There are actually 30 objections to this application at the moment. So I was surprised to hear that number. I thought there might have been one or two, but we've got 30-ish objections.
And where is this? Where is the site?
It's so just up behind Ellen Banning Fuels, or the power station, if you like. Up in there's four fields there, so it'll be in the third field away from Ellen Banning Fuels, along the railway track, if you like, the Heritage Trail.
Good. Okay. And in terms of, and again, another question from somebody talking about the peel and what did you think of the turning down of that? There was going to be on the old bowling green up there by the old tennis courts, where the swimming pool used to be. There was going to be a development for that, a kind of hospitality development.
Yeah, it wasn't quite on the old swimming pool side. It's where the tennis courts are. It was a planning approval in principle from the commissioners to renew the cafe and I think it was two or three lanes of indoor bowling and things like that. I don't think too many people knew too much about it. The commissioners did it and submitted that. It is what it is. It went to planning and they turned it down.
I think so. There was going to be some holiday temporary accommodation there as well, wasn't there?
Are you thinking about this idea for sort of like a sort of bar music, stuff like that?
Yeah,
down
there
at
was,
the end.
Yeah.
So that's potentially coming back this year.
I don't know
is, but the commission is supporting.
That was a private company that were doing that up on the old swimming pool site. Yeah, that was music and food and stuff. Yeah,
they're going to do it this year.
Yeah. Okay. And again, talking about Peel, obviously it was an inspired decision to get the marina in there years and years ago, even though marina seemed to be a dirty word on the Isle of Man. Peel took the plunge with it, and it's gone nowhere but up. It's rejuvenated that part as well. So what's next for Peel, Tim Crookall?
Well, besides hopefully trying to keep it empty of silt and everything else and looking after it, we've just got to... We need employment in the town, Andy. We've had 30 years of housing. We need employment in the town. We're fairly fortunate, you know. If a business closes, and as I said earlier, we've had five or six new businesses opening soon, you know, in the last few weeks. But we could do with some more. There's a small industrial estate that was up on the Ramsey Road that closed years ago. That was never replaced and will probably become housing. But, you know, we want people to stay, live in the town and be able to work in the town and spend in the town. You know, and that hasn't happened, you know, over the last few years.
I'm trying to think. I mean, is there any manufacturing? I mean, there's obviously the Peel, there's the fish yard, but I mean, there's the ice cream factory, but is anything made in Peel?
No, not industrially wise. No, there isn't anything made in town. There are small businesses, though, on the periphery and up the street, obviously, and things like that. And as I say, when one or two of them have closed, others have jumped in there. There are some empty shops there, which doesn't look good at the moment. We were talking just before we came in, there's a new store. You know, I'd say a multiple store on the island that's moving into allegedly. Well, it is. It was on social media yesterday. They were having the photographs taken. You know, so they're moving into Peel shortly, which is good news. But we just need some more employment in the town, small employment in the town for people to be able to live and work in the town.
Okay, what would you say, Kate Lord-Brennan, about getting more businesses into Peel?
I think it's massively important. I also think there's a huge opportunity for businesses because there is a large market of people in Peel, and. Kind of to try and gauge what people thought about this, that's why I launched the sort of Future Peel online engagement so that anybody could specify what they, by way of putting sort of a pin on a map, if you like, say what they would like, what they don't like about Peel, what they want to see in the future.
Somebody just sent me the link to that as well. What should Peel look like? Is that the one?
Yeah, it is. And actually, you know, the point about that for me was actually if you can get if you can get more businesses and services in the town, you know, obviously that's good for prosperity. It's good to service the population that are there. Interestingly, some of the things that would come up, unsurprisingly, but validates it, is obviously people want a cash machine. No big surprise there. But also when Tesco's announced that they were buying ShopRite, I did get in touch with them straight away to say, look, you know, people in Peel would really love to have a cash machine. We've both been keeping on an eye on the provision of cash machines in Peel otherwise, but there's a planning application that's gone in for a cash machine for the new Tesco's, for the Tesco site up on Derby Road. People really missed the bakery. There is a new bakery opening. I think people are very happy to see other businesses opening in Peel as well. I know that I would really like to see the local authority address things like car parking, perhaps some additional car parking proper facility, because if you can have that, then that opens up like the things so much for economic prosperity for the town and place spaces.
Meeting that I'm hoping to have with them through the department in the next few weeks, hopefully.
Okay. All right, Stephen, you're live with Tim Crookall and Kate Law Brennan.
Hello, guests, and hello, Andy, and hello, listeners. A couple of points, if I may. Forgive my croaky voice. I'm just getting over this viral cough, etc. The first point is, when you both were elected, a very big issue was the Corran Memorial Home, which you both attended, and funnily enough, the former Treasury Minister, who's now the Chief Minister, gave a lot of warm words of help and etc. that never materialised, and the home had to close as they were financially not viable at that time. And I wonder, has any progress been made with talking to the trustees of the memorial fund to make any progress as to what can be done with the site? Because
Stephen, I'll just tell you, we did start the programme talking about this, by the way.
Right. Oh, okay. I would missed that then.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I'm more than happy to pick that up with you when I see you down the street shortly.
Right. The second point then is there is another strategic plan coming for Peel, and it only lasts 2 years, this current plan, even when it's been discussed. But I heard you talking about trying to get more commercial properties, shall we say. But I'm led to believe that this current plan doesn't allow for any commercial properties, anything extra designated within the town. So, and also, with the current ongoing problems of seeing doctors, no dentists, etc., what plans have you got, or will you be objecting to this latest development until progress is made along them lines?
So, okay, all right, we've got a minute left.
Just,
Kate Law Brennan,
just be very positive on that. Then the fields that we were talking about before for the sewage treatment works, there are three or four fields there. Hopefully, at some stage when the sewage treatment works are done, there will be a couple of fields spare that we will be able to use those and maybe get some businesses onto those, even if they come off sort of up Mill Road, and then we clear that space for other bits and pieces to go in there. But as far as the doctors is concerned, and that, you know, things are starting to improve there numbers wise from staffing point of view. There was something put on their website fairly recently, and I have asked for a meeting with them in the next couple of weeks.
The Northwest Area Plan does require consideration of infrastructure for the town to be taken account of for any further planning application. So it's not just about provision of land, it's about constraint and infrastructure requirements. That's the very quick answer in the seconds I've got, Stephen.
Okay. All right, Stephen, thank you. Get well soon, Stephen.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. We're on the downhill now. We are, what now, June 2024. Kate Law Brennan, have you had any thoughts about September 2026 at all?
It just feels far too far away.
Tim Crookall?
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it quite regularly, because we keep getting asked now, as everybody keeps saying, you know, nothing's going to get done.
You've had a long career in politics. As a commissioner, as an MHK, to MLC, and then back. You got the public mandate,
1991. Yeah, with a short break of 18 months. But I really still love the job and all sorts of things. But it's there every 5 years. It's up there for everybody to have a go at.
Ask you, how did you feel when you got that mandate, when you got the public mandate 2.5 years ago?
I was elated. I was really, really happy. I mean, you know, I'd have been disappointed if I hadn't got it, but it's the people's choice, if you like. But I wasn't happy, as with Kate. We weren't happy with the services we were getting, so we both decided to come out of LegCo and put ourselves up for general election.
Okay.
And there was actually somebody who criticised me for going from MHK to LegCo and said, you had no right to do that. You've got no mandate up there at all. You should have people's mandate. You should go back. And actually, as it turned out, that's what I did later on in 2021.
Okay. Tim Crookall, thanks for being with us today. Good to see you. And Kate Law Brennan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
We've been Glenn Faber and Peel. And if you didn't get quite enough of Tim Crookall and Kate Law Brennan, they're at Greens tomorrow at St. John's. for a political surgery for Glenn Faber and Peel. That's it. Stick around. Val Dunican's on the way with former Peel sandwich bar host Chris Price is on the way. That's it. Have a great weekend.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
On Manx Radio, and it's been the case for most of the station's 60 years, the majority of programmes are live, which can bring its interesting moments, and also in the view of the main presenters, adds to the ambience. Certainly, the legend that is Val Dunican thought so when he talked to Chris Price. Val did his first BBC live TV in 1964, the year Manx Radio was born.
I love doing television live. I think I wish people would do more live television somewhere, because I think the canning of live television, I think, has gone a little bit over the top. They've got very artificial now, I think, and they've become a little bit unreal, I think. They're so canned. And I used to do my programmes back in 64, 65, when I started on BBC television. A lot of people used to do live then, which was very common then. I mean, there was no novelty about it like it is now. And I did it from 1964, I think, till about 1970. Then I went to ATV. I signed up with Lou Grade and did programmes for America. And I couldn't have had a greater sort of contrast. I was virtually going in the morning and recording all the announcements, and then going in the afternoon and doing the songs, and then they do the guests the next day, and then they'd stick it all together. And I realized then that was not the way I liked doing television. I could not feel any sense of continuity about the thing at all. And it really was so unnatural to me. I love to feel when I'm doing my television show the same as I do doing my act out here. I love doing live television. So I'd been away from BBC for a long time. And then about 1977, I got an idea for the kind of series I'm doing now. And I went back and I saw Bill Cotton and we talked it over. And as I walked out of his office, he said to me, "By the way, you know, can I ask you the $64,000 question?" He said, "Would you do them live again?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't mind." "Really?" he said. I said, "Okay." And he said, "Because you'll be the only sort of, you know, a major sort of entertainment program that'll be live." So I started to, and I love it. I love it. It can be very inconvenient at times, you know, because
what you might call living dangerously.
It is, yeah. That side of it, I think, is up to yourself. You got to either take that risk or you don't, you know. I mean, you do radio all the time, and I'm sure that you do hours of live radio, and you never think you're going to do anything ridiculous, really, I suppose. You do it as you go along. If you make a mistake, you apologise and do it again. And I think if people do that, the public would accept it. I'm sure they would.
Part of Ireland life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.